Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. It's Friday, December the 21st, and you're listening to KCAW in Sitka. And time now for Raven News. The city of Sitka will hold a groundbreaking ceremony today for one of the largest construction projects in its history. Work actually began on the Blue Lake Dam expansion earlier this month. Utility Director Chris Bruton says today's event will be ceremonial.
The assembly requested address the issue and requested something like this, so we thought we'll put it together. Jessica's done a good job putting it together. We have a banner and the gold shovels, and everyone will be there to take the photo for all time's sake of folks involved in the project. So,
where do you find gold shovels in Sitka?
You find them at Spinard's, right next to the spray paint cans that are gold, and the shovels in the back.
The project calls for raising the Blue Lake Dam by 83 feet. Officials say that will let the city generate more electricity from hydropower. In recent years, Sitka has needed more power than its two hydro projects could produce. The city has used expensive diesel fuel to supplement what it couldn't get from the lakes. Construction alone is estimated to cost more than $90 million. The city is hoping for a significant portion from the state. Governor Sean Parnell's capital budget, though, does not include money for Blue Lake, but the legislature still has to weigh in on that process. And even though the Blue Lake project isn't scheduled for completion until 2015, Bruton says the contractors are working quickly.
Even though the weather outside is not really conducive to construction normally, we've got a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of activity at the sawmill, the Sawmill Cove site. There's people scrambling all over the admin building, setting up offices, getting things going. We really don't have a day to waste, so I'm really encouraged to see the contractors really hitting the ground running here and moving forward.
Bruton says much of the work so far has involved clearing trees and shrubs. Workers also have been preparing the area for blasting.
Up at the dam site, we're clearing off there's a rock knob there, so we're clearing it off to prepare that as the work area and work site. So they're leveling that off and preparing that so we can install the crane and some of the equipment that will go up there.
The groundbreaking ceremony takes place today at noon at the Blue Lake Powerhouse parking lot on Sawmill Creek Road. A plan to improve hatchery king salmon returns near Petersburg has made it past another couple of hurdles. A group of Alaska Department of Fish and Game scientists, fishermen, and hatchery representatives has recommended the proposal move forward. Matt Lichtenstein has an update.
Fish and Game's Southeast Regional Planning Team for Salmon Enhancement gave the project its endorsement. It would allow the rearing of at least 100,000 king salmon smolt in a temporary saltwater net pen in Frederick Sound near Petersburg. The recommendation has been sent on to the Commissioner of Fish and Game for approval. The plan also has to go through the environmental permitting process, which can take a while, especially since the state no longer has a coastal zone management program to coordinate the pertinent agencies. So the project is not a done deal yet, according to Judy Lum, the Southeast Enhancement Coordinator for Fish and Game's Sport Fish Division.
We're definitely not finalized. We've got a lot of permits still out there, and some of them haven't even started their review yet. And because we don't have, I think you're probably aware of, we used to have the Coastal Management Program, which helped us kind of organize and be able to go to one place and that place facilitate contacting all these resource agencies at the same time. We don't have that process, so you don't know in this particular arena whether or not you'll get an agency kind of at the 11th hour coming in and going, oh, by the way, you need this permit.
Since our interview, Lum says Fish and Game received their Army Corps of Engineers permit to install a net pen in Frederick Sound near the mouth of City Creek. Proponents hope to rear the first kings near City Creek this coming spring. A local charter operator and the state's sport fish biologist out of Petersburg came up with the plan. The smolt would come from Crystal Lake Hatchery, which is at Blind Slough by the Wrangell Narrows south of town. Chinook returns to that hatchery have been weak for several years. By rearing some of the smolt in a temporary net pen for a month each spring, the department hopes to help them grow bigger before they're released to face life in the wild. The idea is to try and improve ocean survival so more of the Crystal Lake kings return as adults and eventually benefit the area's sport and commercial fishermen.
So this is just one option we're trying to look at to see whether or not we can produce more fish. And it is very experimental. I mean, we won't know a few years down the road whether or not we get survivals off this particular release. So at the same time, we've installed a heat exchanger to get warmer water in for better growth for our releases. I mean, all these things we're putting into play to hopefully get overall better survivals from that facility.
The project has also been endorsed by the Petersburg City Council, Petersburg's Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association. At the same time, a couple of local residents raised concerns that the release of hatchery kings at City Creek could prompt more fishing effort and impact wild runs to the Stikine and Farragut rivers nearby. They suggested more research was needed before moving forward. The main concern for the regional planning team was that the removal of more smolt from Crystal Lake Hatchery could result in fewer fish returning to the facility in the future, and thus a shortage of brood stock to produce the next generation of fish. However, Lum notes that Crystal Lake and several other hatcheries in Southeast have agreements to provide eggs to each other if they have a shortage. According to Lum, the regional planning team agreed to recommend the City Creek proposal move forward as long as some existing release sites get first dibs on the Crystal Lake smolt.
So the first priority would be obviously blind slough, because we want returns to come back to the facility to ensure that we have brood stock. That was the first one. And then the second one was to make sure that there was a priority to Nita Bay, so that this small project wouldn't take precedence over traditional releases that we've had in the past.
Anita Bay is a release site off Edlin Island near Wrangell. The Sport Fish Division is hoping to secure funding for the City Creek project this coming year from the Southeast Alaska Chinook Salmon Fishery Mitigation Program. That federally funded and state-administered program is aimed at making up for Chinook harvest reductions under the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
More details are emerging about the Alaska-class ferry redesign. The smaller shuttles could have partially open car decks, and three rather than two might be built. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
State officials are talking about more ways to cut the cost of the Lynn Canal shuttle ferries. They're what will replace a partially designed ship that could handle a larger variety of routes.
I have previously described the current 350-foot Alaska-class ferry as a stretch Leconte.
That's Marine Highways Chief Captain Mike Neusel addressing a recent phone meeting of the Southeast Conference's Transportation Committee. The Leconte, which serves Northern Southeast, has a cafeteria and crew quarters, allowing for longer sailings. Neusel says the shuttle ships will have none of those amenities.
The concept for the replacement Alaska-class shuttle ferry is really more of a stretched or supersized Lituya.
That ship, which links Ketchikan and Metlakatla, has an open car deck and a small passenger area. Neusel says details are far from being worked out, but having a partially uncovered car deck would save money. Juneau Mayor Merrill Sanford says the weather's often too rough for that.
All of us have been in Lynn Canal in times when we shouldn't have been, and or wished we weren't, and unless you can really show me that it's safe, that's kind of a ridiculous concept to be even looking at.
Ferries now sail a single daily Juneau-Haines-Skagway round trip. The Leconte runs in the winter, and the larger Malaspina in the summer. Earlier Alaska-class ferry plans called for much of the same. Neusel says more and smaller shuttles would allow for a flexible schedule.
The goal will be with two of these vessels and potentially a follow-on third vessel to run one of them Juneau to Haines and back every day, or perhaps with two crews twice a day, and to have an additional one of these vessels run back and forth four times per day or so between Haines and Skagway.
An eventual third shuttle would be homeported in Skagway and sail to and from Juneau. The change from one large ferry to several shuttles raised the ire of many involved in the marine highway, but not everyone. Juneau Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Kathy Romick serves on the Southeast Conference's Transportation Committee, as well as the Governor's Ferry Advisory Panel.
We originally asked that we could get two smaller vessels, and over the course of the last 5.5 years, this shuttle day boat has morphed into this big ship.
Governor Sean Parnell announced his Alaska-class ferry plan in early December. It surprised some lawmakers, advisory board members, and ferry staff. Further discussion is expected before the House and Senate Transportation Committees, which are both chaired by Southeast legislators. It will also be on the agenda for the next Marine Transportation Advisory Board meeting. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Fairbanks area residents are again being warned about breathing the air. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner says wintertime air pollution has returned to the Fairbanks area because of lower temperatures and a strong inversion. Temperatures yesterday reached 40 degrees below zero at the Fairbanks International Airport. That prompted the North Star Borough to post advisories with an unhealthy rating for Fairbanks and a very unhealthy rating for the North Pole area. Borough Air Quality Division technician Jim McCormick said the inversion, which traps air pollution, is expected to stay at least through the weekend. Residents are being warned against prolonged outdoor exertion for people with heart or lung disease, the elderly, and children. Those people are also advised to avoid any outdoor activity in the North Pole area. Alaska Representative Don Young will continue to serve as chairman of a U.S. House Subcommittee on Indian and Alaska Native Affairs. Young, in a statement, said the panel intends to conduct vigorous oversight of the U.S. Interior Department, as well as promote natural resource development by tribes. The subcommittee falls within the House Natural Resources Committee, on which Young will also continue to serve during the next Congress. Young's spokesman says the Republican will also remain on the House Transportation Committee. That's it for Raven News for this hour. It's just about 1 minute after the hour of 8 o'clock. You are listening to KCAW in Sitka. 26 degrees outside, under about 10 miles visibility. Fair skies this morning. Good morning.